If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
One of my favorite Cleveland Indians of all time. He joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I got to tell you, I loved watching this man play defense, and his offense was so underrated, it was ridiculous. He's shortstop Omar Vizquel. Omar, good to have you with us, buddy.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Omar? Doing well. Thank you very much. When I think of you and home openers, I think of you playing your first game in Cleveland as an Indian in the first game at Progressive Field, Jacobs Field at the time. What memories do you have of that day, Omar?
Well, that is a very special day in my life since we opened one of the most iconic baseball fields in the Major League. Remember that the movie Major League was going on at the time. And everybody was waiting like for a change. And when they present Jacobs Field, everybody was like, wow, this is a great play. We're going to make a lot of history in this ballpark. And everybody was excited to leave spring training and go straight to the Jake and see what the ballpark was going to present us. Of course, you have to remember that unbelievable win coming from behind, facing Randy Johnson in the mound, one of the best pitchers in the American League, and Wayne Kirby with a double down the left field line. I can't remember that like it was yesterday. Give us the win that put us on top. And then from there, everything was history.
Oh, we're having one of those spring-like Cleveland days where the high is going to be 37. I was wondering, how did a kid from Caracas, Venezuela deal with the cold? And what kind of tricks did you learn over the years to keep yourself warm in some tough days here by the lake?
Yeah, very good question, because a lot of Latin players are not used to these kind of conditions playing baseball. I think the coolest day that we have here in our countries are like 60s, 50s at the most. But we never saw snow before. We never have the pleasure or being lucky enough to play in the snow, something that is really difficult as a hitter. You just want to take a walk all the time. You don't want to swing the bat. And as an infielder, when you would take the ground ball, it's very hard to throw the ball to first base because sometimes you're standing there for half an hour and you don't even get a ground ball. So it makes it very hard on yourself trying to feel in this condition. But, you know, one of the tricks that I discovered was I put my fielding hand in my pocket, and every time the pitch was going to go over the plate, I take it out and get ready to make that throw. That way I can keep my hand warm and maybe make the play an easy way.
That's like turning around on a pop-up so you're not looking great. Exactly. Right into the sun. Tricks of the trade from Omar Vizquel. I like that a lot.
That was very, very nice to do, but when the snow coming down, it doesn't matter how you turn your back to the home plate, it's very hard to see the ball.
That's funny. Omar, was it the cold really was that big of a factor for you and some of the other Latin players on the team? It just took a while to figure it all out?
Yeah, I think so, especially when you have low crowds and the people are not into the games. I think that when you have 45,000 people in the ballpark, it's easier because the adrenaline that you have in your body is different. I mean, you have to be able to perform under those conditions to be able to that you just did in the spring training. And remember, we came out of spring training from Florida or from Arizona when it was warm at 80 degrees, and all of a sudden you go into a 30 or 20 degree weather, which is a completely different condition that when you left spring training. So you have to readjust everything again and try to make it happen.
Omar Vizquel is joining us. We've talked in the past, Omar, about your guy, Brian Rocchio, at shortstop for the Guardians. And you've known Brian a long time. He came on really great in the playoffs last year. How does a guy follow up a regular season where his offense was, okay, a work in progress, nailed it in the postseason, and now trying to find that again?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a challenge for him to kind of rebound from last year. Obviously, I think that he has the tools to have a great year. Defensively, there is no doubt that he's going to do the job. He have a gold glove caliber. He can dominate the backhand ball as well as going to his left and going forward and everything else, the double plays. He had a great arm. So he reminded me a little bit of myself when I started, when the hitting was a little bit of a question. But I'm pretty sure that he's going to be able to hit. He showed it in the playoff last year. He played under pressure. And he was able to answer all the questions. So, you know, I think even though that he might start a little slow because of the weather, I think he's going to get, with the experience that he had last year, he's going to go right into the swing of things, and he's going to be able to hit his 270, 280 with a lot of production.
Omar, you mentioned before, it's tough dealing with the cold, like you said, coming out of spring training. And then, if you're a player and you get off to a tough start and you're in a little bit of a slump, and I know you got to kind of stick to the processes that have got you there and what have you, and it's got to be tough though coming up to the plate and seeing you're batting 125 on the scoreboard, and you know you're itching to get things going. What did you lean on as a player to kind of get you through those tough patches, especially early in a season?
Well, I think in the lineup that everybody have to contribute, you know, you have to be able to do the little things. Maybe you can advance guys, play the little ball that we used to play before. I know that in this modern baseball, everybody's asking you to hit the long ball or to make a bigger production. But if you contribute to the ball team, I think the manager is going to be happy, the front office is going to be happy, and you're going to be able to win ball games. Over the years, I think that has been the biggest weapon from the Cleveland Guardians. You know, you don't count with a lot of power, but you do the little things. You play hardball, you play aggressively on the bases, and I think that is the language that the Guardian has been having for a long time. And when you do that, it's contagious to the team, and it help out a lot with the chemistry of a team. And obviously you can see that in at the end of the day.
Omar Vizquel joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Omar, as a defensive player, you were as good as I've ever seen at shortstop. You played with Robbie Alomar for a while, as good as I've ever seen at second base, along with Andrés Giménez, who is no longer here. Gabe Arias is now the second baseman. You played a little second base later in your career, a little third base. They moved you around a little bit. Is it an easy transition from short to second, especially for a guy, and I've wondered about this, Gabe has a really strong arm, and that throw from second's a very different throw than the throw from shortstop.
No, it's not easy to make that adjustment, especially because you are on the other side of the field, just being on second base. Everything's kind of look backwards to you a little bit. I noticed that after playing 2,000 games on shortstop. I know Gabriel He's one of those utility players that is able to adjust to different positions. I saw him playing in the outfield this year here in Venezuela. I saw him playing third base. So he's one of those players that you have in there because he's able to do that adjustment. And obviously, old great like Robbie Alomar in the beginning. But if you get used to the position, He's going to be able to do the job, and he's going to do a great combination with Rocchio because they kind of know each other. So you want somebody strong up the middle, and I think these two guys are going to be doing a lot of great things together.
Omar, along those lines, you know, it was such a treat in covering you over the years, and those years you had with Robbie, I mean, there were nights where you guys made plays together that were just had never been seen before, and you know, something I always look fondly back on in terms of my career. Who are the guys now that you just mentioned? The you know, the Guardians have some nice middle infielders now. Who catches your eye? I mean, pardon the pun, but as far as you know, being one of the best fielding shortstops that the game has ever seen, who attracts you now? Who do you like to watch?
Yeah, it's kind of sad that I don't get to see Jimenez and Rocchio for another year. I mean, this guy brought us a lot of excitement last year up the middle. It was one of those great combinations that I wish that they can stay together for a while. But business is business. Jimenez is not there anymore. And Rocchio's going to get used to a new second baseman. You know, I don't think Arias is going to be one of those guys that you can compare to Robbie Alomar, but like I said, he got some great hands. He moved very good around second baseman. Bobby Witt Jr. is a guy that I admire a lot, a shortstop in the position. And the guy from Baltimore is another guy that I like a lot.
Gunnar Hernandez, or Anderson Steele.
Yeah, so there is a lot of great shortstop right now at the game, but these three guys are top of the line for me.
That's interesting. Omar, last year I think expectations were low for the Guardians, and they exceeded them from the beginning of the season almost all the way to the end of the season. I don't know if expectations should have been raised based on some of the changes with the team. When you go into a season and you have question marks and thoughts and you're wondering, can this work, how does that play in the clubhouse? How do guys deal with that?
Well, it brings you kind of like a question mark into your game, especially if you don't start very strong. You know, you have to start strong because right now, at the end of the season, those games in April are going to count a lot. So it is very important for the team to start strong. I know right now they're not starting very strong, but they have to be able to recover. And I think this year is going to be a real challenge for them to kind of compete with Kansas City and Detroit. This is the first year that I see the Guardians, you know, having a little bit of trouble with these two teams. In the past, I think you can see that maybe the expectations weren't too high and they were able to ride the wave and get to the top. But this year is going to be a little different. They know everybody's going against them now because they know they have a great bullpen and the way that they win games is amazing. I don't think nobody last year counted for the Guardians to get as far as they did or even the year before. They have been doing a great job sticking together. They have a great leader, Jose Ramirez, that can do it all. And maybe if Jose can bring this team one more time to the top, I mean, it's going to be amazing. I don't know that many people have great expectation for them, but inside the clubhouse, I know that they have a challenge, and they know that it's going to be a very tough year. And I'm sure that they're talking about it, and I'm sure that they know that they have to raise their game. So it's going to be a very interesting year for them this year.
Omar, one of the things we do have to look forward to this year is that a former teammate of yours, CeCe Sabathia, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, along with Tom Hamilton, the great broadcaster, radio play-by-play voice of the Indians and Guardians for generations. Omar,
it is about time for Hamilton getting there, man. I love this guy. He does everything great, and the excitement that he brings to the game is so good. Every play makes you stand up from your seat. Even though you're not watching the game, you feel like the atmosphere around you.
Yeah.
And Tom is, I love Tom. He's a great guy. And thanks God for CeCe Sabathia. He showed in the beginning of his career the kind of pitcher he can be. He had a great career with the Indians when he was an Indian. And then he ended up with New York, one of the best teams. You know, he can show all his potential there. And everybody that can see him knew the kind of pitcher he was. So it is amazing that we have another guy that we play with in the Hall of Fame. That is awesome.
And Omar, as a Hall of Fame voter, it's something that's been a a responsibility and a burden and all of that for myself. I was just, what would it mean for you? I know, listen, you've gotten my vote every year. What would it mean for you to one day get into Cooperstown?
Well, I think, thank you very much for your vote. I really appreciate it. I think that just being there is the top of the cream, the top of the cake, like they said. It makes you realize what an honor it is to be inducted into the hall that the best players in the game are belongs there and they're there. And it's just amazing. You know, I wish that I can have the opportunity to be there someday. I feel like I deserve to be there. The numbers are there, and I just hope that people can remember the kind of game that I play and the way that I play in order for them to regain that boat back.
You're a Hall of Famer in my mind, Omar.
Thank you, sir.
Phenomenal baseball player. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you with us.
Thanks, O.
Thank you. And good luck to the Guardians. I'm really pushing for them this year one more time. That's my favorite team in the big league. And very aware of what's going on, and wishing them luck tonight at the opening day.
We'll have you with us later on in the season, Omar. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Omar Vizquel.
See you, Omar.
Joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tom Withers is in for Andy today. It's been an absolute blast, and we've had a potpourri of fine guests today. Started early on with Chris Antonetti, president of baseball operations for the Guardians. He joins at 10:40. Mary Kay Cabot talks some draft with us at 11:20 from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, talking Browns. Travis Hafner at noon. Omar Vizquel just finished up at 1 o'clock. If you missed any of those, go back and listen to them on the Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com. One thing that Omar was talking about there, and just, you know, his abilities as a defensive player, Tom, but every time I think of Omar, I think two things in particular. Number one, he was not a big guy. He still is not a big guy.
It hasn't grown much since.
No, he hasn't grown much. and nor is it, does it look like he's put on a pound. He still looks like he's in game
shape. Fit to
fight,
yeah.
And he at the time showed what a little guy can do in Major League Baseball. And he had some years hitting-wise that were unbelievable that you wouldn't think of, you know, and some of them jump out in particular. It was 1999. Guy hit, what, 333, and he had 191 hits. You know, I mean, he did some things. But the thing that sticks out to me about Omar that I don't think people in Cleveland necessarily realize, and for an okay reason, because he wasn't playing here, but Omar left Cleveland in 2004 at the age of 37. And then played 8 more years in the majors.
24 years.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
He played 4 years for the San Francisco Giants,
yeah,
and played most every day until his last year there. It wasn't until he was 41 years old that he became a part-time player. His first 3 years in San Francisco, he was their starting shortstop. And then he finished up at the age of 41 with the Giants for one more year, went to the Rangers at 42, played in 108 games for the White Sox when he was 43, played with Chicago when he was 44, and finished up as an infielder at the age of 45.
Incredible.
Playing for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Doing something
that's
right.
That's hard to believe.
It's hard
it?
To believe. You know, I forgot about the 14-homer season in 2002.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
I don't know, because he only hit 80 in his career. Batted 283 over 11 years here in Cleveland. You know, and you can't dismiss the defensive stuff, but
the glove was so good.
But you forget how good he was offensively, though,
oh, yeah,
right? I mean, he was in the middle of all of those rallies,
yep,
right? You know, could come up with the extra base hit, could steal a base when you needed.
Yep, it,
did everything
just
well.
Just a good, well, great in many instances, all around baseball player. One of the greatest defensive players I've ever seen in my life. It was either Omar or Robbie.
Oh, no question.
And they were, I mean, depending on what side of the infield. Oh, Omar's the best defensive shortstop I've ever seen.
And not to bring up a good, bad memory, but his throwing error in Game 6 of the 1998 ALCS against the Yankees won the Yankees that series. Now, mind you, that's the Yankee team that went 125 and 50,
yeah,
and just bludgeoned their way to another world title, right?
Yeah.
So, but I can remember, and I wasn't even based here in Cleveland yet. I was still in New York, but I remember Omar being so accountable after that game and standing at his locker and taking on wave after wave of, you know, not only New York reporters, but national reporters' questions about the error and handling it with class. And, what just a tremendous player. We're, again, you know, Jeff, you and I talk about it sometimes, how lucky we are to some of these intersections of careers that we've had with people in this town. And Omar is certainly on that top of that list for me.
Guardians just made a trade.
I see that.
They acquired right-handed pitcher Cody Bolton from the Seattle Mariners. So there are two of Omar's teams. For cash considerations, they sent him to AAA Columbus. So there you go. He's been with the Pirates and the Mariners, 33 games at the major league level over the last two seasons. So there you go. 3.07 ERA in AAA.
You can never have enough pitching. You ever heard that before?
Well, I have heard that before. It seems to be the case. We were talking in the break about Omar. And Omar, 5'7", 170, 100 whatever pounds. And his impact on the game started to change, I think, a little bit because people were looking for the different type of shortstop, Tom. And I wonder if you think that's kind of switching back a little bit?
Yeah, it seems to be switching a little bit, Jeff. Yeah, you're right. They were looking for that Cal Ripken, A-Rod, Troy Tulowitzki, six foot three, 220, first guy to get off the bus type of our shortstop needs to hit 30 home runs. Those days seem to be gone. And I think Omar was part of that switch to get these defensive specialists out there. And there's, he mentioned a few before. There's some really good ones. Boy, Bobby Wood Jr., every time I watch that
guy, he gets
to get better every game too. So
he's really good.
Tough having him in the division as well. See a lot of him.
And the funny thing about it, if you're really paying attention to baseball, and a lot of people who listen to our show do, and we appreciate that, man, as good as a great offensive shortstop is and can help you, a bad defensive shortstop will just kill you. And it's the guy who can do both who's just going to make a boatload of money.
Totally.
And, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody who can compare with Omar defensively who could hit and be a huge, as much of a presence on the offensive side, Tom, as he is on the defensive side. I don't know if those guys exist. Ripken was good. But he wasn't like Omar.
Yeah, and then A-Rod moved over to third, so that was different, right? I mean, early in his career, he was at short. But you're right, there's been very few guys in our lifetime that have had that kind of balance, right? And never mind be able to, like I said before, steal a base, lead by example, be a good clubhouse guy, all those kinds of things.
3-6 for the Guardians so far. And
it's early.
Again, we know that. It's and we're going to be able to say that for a while.
Yeah.
That said, which one do you have your eye on most? Is it the rotation? Is it the bullpen? Is it the offense?
For me, it's always the offense because I feel I have such a belief and trust in this front office and in this coaching staff. Carl Willis, who you guys had on earlier today, he's the best.
Good.
And I think Chris mentioned it. If there is a Hall of Fame for coaches, I think Carl Willis would be in there already. So it's the offense. Yeah, I think you still got to get back to being able to score 4, 5, and 6 runs, put up a crooked number in innings, and move guys around. You need guys to hit the ball out of the park every once in a while as well. So I'll continue to keep an eye on the offense because I feel like at the end of the day, that's going to be what's going to separate these teams in this competitive AL Central, the team that can really score runs.
Dan's making a funny face.
I got some really bizarre breaking news. Okay. Shams Charania at ESPN. The Denver Nuggets have fired coach Michael Malone.
Wow.
What?
So there have been some rumblings about some internal division in Denver for a while. So while this is surprising to me, given the timing and where they are in the season, I know things have not been as rosy as you can imagine. And Michael, who I know a little bit from his time here in Cleveland, Michael is not one to bite his tongue either.
Michael is feisty.
You know what I mean? Just like his dad was.
I spent a lot of time with Michael.
So you know what I mean. So maybe there was a, who knows what has happened over recent days.
Right now they're in fourth place in the Western Conference. They're 47-32, and of course they have an NBA championship on the resume.
And they're one of those teams that if they found themselves into the finals, you wouldn't be shocked.
Totally agree.
No.
They've had some injury issues, and you could maybe argue that they've underachieved to a degree given that they probably have the best player on the planet on their team.
They've lost 4 straight.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll find out sooner than later what's going on there.
Interim?
No idea yet. I'll keep you in the loop if they say anything.
I'm not even sure who's on their staff, to be honest with you, at the top of his staff.
I think that's stunning, man. That's stunning.
Well, especially with a week to go in the season, that's the most important part of it. Yeah, yeah.
Michael, I spent a lot of time with Michael covering the Cavs. Straightforward, straight shooter.
New Yorker.
Didn't mince words. Went from working at a Foot Locker in Detroit when his dad was up there and getting into coaching. He was just working, selling shoes. And Michael knows his stuff. I think he's one of the better coaches in the NBA.
One of the good guys, too. So was his dad.
Great guy.
Love Brendan. Yeah.
I used to give him grief because I have an issue. And Michael had this great head of hair. And then he showed up with it all buzzed off. And I looked at him one day and I said, "The hell are you doing?" I said, "Dude, it might happen to you one day. You don't have to bring it on yourself."
That's funny.
And he finally let it grow back. But you ready to hit your button? You got more?
Yeah, Chris Haynes is reporting David Edelman will take over.
Rick Edelman's son.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is a highly regarded assistant coach. Wow, that's stunning news.
Something more to talk about before the Cavs game tonight with various people in the arena. Yeah.
That's stunning news. You know, the NBA is such a weird league, Tom. And
it can be.
You know, like when Lenny Wilkins was here, Lenny's a phenomenal coach. Lenny ran the prettiest offense I think I've ever seen in the NBA when he was coaching Larry Nance and Brad and Mark Price. Their offense was just spectacular. Great spacing, mm-hmm. great ball movement,
yeah.
great
body.
I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Need a different voice. And that's the NBA. They bring in Mike Fratello. Mike grinds it out with a team that wasn't very talented. And Mike's a hell of a coach. And what happens? All right, well, we got to make a change here. It just happens in the NBA.
J.B. Bickerstaff got his team to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
And improved
and gets
every
shown the
year.
Door. Yeah,
improved
yeah.
every year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are very few Greg Popoviches around.
Yeah.
Who stick with one team for a very long period of time. And that's just really rough.
Hey, since we're talking about NBA for a second,
yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the Celtic City documentary.
No.
On Max.
Outstanding.
It's phenomenal. It's so good. If you're an NBA fan, if you appreciate sports history, they do a deep dive. And I know it's tough for people that, the Celtics are the arch rival at this
yes.
point or whatever you want to call it. They do a deep dive into Bill Russell and, what he meant from a societal standpoint, the troubles in Boston over the years, the racial strife that's kind of, been problematic in that city for generations. Bob Cousy, John Havlicek, Red Auerbach, right on down the line. It is spectacular.
Reference.
Check it out.
There you go. I will check that out. That sounds like fun. Again, Michael Malone being released as head coach of the Denver Nuggets. So take that one and figure that one out.